Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in South Central Iowa and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA and KRLS. Now with today's In-Depth, here's Dr. Bob Leonard.
What led to President Trump's 2016 electoral victory in Iowa? Let's go in depth with Andrew Green, professor of political science at Central College and author of a new book, From the Iowa Caucuses to the White House, Understanding Donald Trump's 2016 Electoral Victory in Iowa. Well, Professor Green, congratulations on your new book, From the Iowa Caucuses to the White House, Understanding Donald Trump's 2016 Electoral Victory in Iowa. Congratulations.
Well, thank you, Bob.
Well, what made you want to write this?
I've always wanted to do some work on Iowa politics, and a couple of years ago, a friend of mine who teaches at Utica College in New York emailed me, contacted me, and asked if I wanted to write a book for his new series on U.S. elections and write it about Iowa. And so I jumped at the chance to write the book and have it included as a part of his new series.
Well, what was really interesting about the book to me was it wasn't just your thoughts on the election. You went out and you sent survey questionnaires to county chairs, Democrats and Republicans alike. Then you talked to party officials, other people that are prominent in both parties, and got their perceptions on it. I guess that's just standard operating procedure for a political scientist or not?
Well, I wanted to approach the book from a very objective, empirical perspective. And so it was really important for me to not only talk with state political elites, to get information and collect qualitative data from local political elites, but also analyze some quantitative survey data through the Cooperative Congressional Election Study, which had a nice sized panel of Iowans included in it, to really be able to test some of these theories that have been developed by political scientists, also by folks in popular press about what really happened in Iowa in 2016, considering that Iowa had gone for Barack Obama in both 2008 and 2012.
It was a really interesting change. And so you're helping explain that.
Absolutely.
Well, what was interesting to me, too, was that a lot of times the Republican leaders and the Democratic leaders, they were on the same page with respect to what happened.
Yeah, there were some pretty significant themes that emerged not only in the interview data, but also the survey data. While I was analyzing the audio recordings of the interviews and analyzing the written text that was provided in the surveys from the county party officials, there were certainly some trends that both Republicans and Democrats agreed on.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation with Andrew Green, professor of political science at Central College and author of a new book, From the Iowa Caucuses to the White House, Understanding Donald Trump's 2016 Electoral Victory in Iowa. Well, let's talk about some of those trends that led to some of the major conclusions of your book. Which would you say is the most important?
Well, I think the role that the voters' attitude on immigration policy stands out as one of the most significant predictors of support for Trump here in Iowa. And I took a chapter of the book in draft form to a conference, a political science conference last spring, and folks in the panel were just shocked that immigration was such an important issue here in Iowa. But when you look at the history of immigration and immigration policy in terms of how it intersects with politics and elections here in Iowa, the role of immigration as a policy issue goes back, even back into the Vilsack administration. It's an issue that's important to voters here in Iowa, and it certainly was important to Trump supporters in 2016.
And so the Democrats are being seen as looser on immigration, the Republicans as wanting tighter.
Well, the finding in the individual level regression modeling that I did was that voters with more hardline positions on immigration policy were more likely to support Trump. And that was true for not only Republican voters, but also for Democratic voters and no party independent voters.
And so that view on immigration might have been what shifted, you know, there are purple counties to be red?
It probably was part of it. What we know about elections is that voters can have certain issues primed by candidates, meaning that the more time that candidates spend on issues, that can lead voters to believe that those issues are really salient and they can become important issues by which voters assess candidates. 2016, immigration was a significant issue that was put in front of voters, not only by Donald Trump, but also by Hillary Clinton. And so it became one of those salient predictors that voters, or salient issues that voters voted on here in Iowa.
And President Trump has to hope that it continues throughout, you know, through 2020.
Well, I think what we're seeing out of the president in terms of immigration and the president's campaign organization in terms of immigration certainly is consistent with what we saw in 2016. That issue helped galvanize support for him back in 16, and I don't know why we would think it would be any different in 2020 if he's able to put that issue out in front of voters and they see it as a salient, important issue.
It's never faded from the headlines.
No, not over the last two and a half, three years.
What other things helped lead President Trump to victory?
The other finding that was really surprising to me was the significant amount of antipathy that was felt towards Hillary Clinton here in Iowa. And it wasn't just amongst Republicans. I think we all knew going in that how Republicans felt about Hillary Clinton. But the level of antipathy that was felt amongst Democrats and some no party voters was really surprising to me, and was not only an important factor in attempting to explain why Trump won, but also in looking at the difficult time that some county party officials had in recruiting volunteers, the difficult time that some county officials had in trying to convince voters while they were going door to door in canvassing efforts. It really stood out to me while I was doing that qualitative work.
Well, one of the conclusions that was fascinating to me, just to build a little bit on what you just said, was that the Trump organization really didn't have the on-the-ground people. It was all organic. People mm-hmm. decided to go out on their own and knock mm-hmm. doors and engage, where the Democratic county chairs, a lot of them, especially in the western part of the state, couldn't get anyone to go out and canvass for Hillary Clinton.
Yeah, if we looked at the campaign organizations for Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump, Hillary Clinton had a traditional large campaign organization here in the state that extended from the state level all the way down to the county level. Trump's organization was very small, although the folks that were working in Des Moines know Iowa politics. You know, Eric Branstad was the state campaign chair for Donald Trump, son of Governor Terry Branstad, knows Iowa politics, knows Iowa. And they were able to build a grassroots effort and get folks who were Trump supporters to talk to their friends, talk to their neighbors. And it really did become an organic movement across the state.
Well, Branstad said something interesting that you relate in the book that I don't know exactly how he said it, but I think it was when he first heard Trump speak, he said he's got it. He's got that special factor mm-hmm. that other people don't have that makes people want to support him.
Yeah, he was he was amazed by the ability of Trump to connect with voters. And he believed that was a significant factor in why the movement took off in the way that it did. You know, he recounted the event that they had at the Adler Theater in the early part of the campaign back in July, and how it just felt like this rock concert, people on their feet, standing in every nook and cranny, clapping, screaming. It just was one of those once in a lifetime political events.
Well, that's what it was like when he came to Central College too. I mean, that was just, and people lined up way down the street trying to get in, and not everybody made it in.
Yeah, I opened up the book with those memories, because I remember driving down University Street here in Pella the day that he came to Pella, and seeing the vendors selling the Trump swag, and seeing the line down University Street in an attempt to get into Dowstra Auditorium, and then ultimately the folks who weren't able to get into Dowstra went into the Overflow Center and the Graham Center. It just, you know, it was amazing. For a billionaire businessman running for president coming to Pella to have that type of a crowd. I've been to other political events here in Pella with pretty prominent Republican candidates and officials, and they didn't draw nearly those types of crowds.
Well, I was there an hour early, and I almost didn't get in. A state senator who was there with Trump recognized me, you know, standing outside, mm-hmm. and he made it so I could get in. Mm-hmm. But it was that big and that controlled.
And that's how the events were all across the state. It really was. You know, I talk a little bit about the book, how Trump was the perfect candidate at the perfect time. And in a year that was really viewed as a change election, and change was in the air, Trump was the outsider candidate that a lot of these Republican voters were attracted to, and a lot of no party voters were attracted to, and even quite a few crossover Democrats were attracted to.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation with Andrew Green, professor of political science at Central College and author of a new book, From the Iowa Caucuses to the White House, Understanding Donald Trump's 2016 Electoral Victory in Iowa. Well, I like the part in there about yard signs.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I was just always surprised. I never, very rarely saw a Hillary mm-hmm. sign where Trump signs were mm-hmm. abundant.
Mm-hmm. And not just Trump signs that were manufactured by the Trump campaign, but the homemade yard signs, painting on the side of the barn, putting hay bales together with Trump spelled across them. When Trump supporters couldn't get a mass-produced sign, they were willing to put the time and effort into putting a homemade sign together. And we saw them all across Iowa on fence lines, on barns, in yards, you name it.
Any other major conclusions you'd like to share today?
2016 was really a fascinating, unique election here in the state. It's going to be really interesting as we reflect upon 2016 and then move into 2020, further into the cycle, to see if the same types of campaign strategies are used on the ground to try and promote the president here in the state. And it'll be interesting to see where a lot of those, not only the no party voters, but a lot of those crossover voters who may have voted for Barack Obama in 2012, maybe in 2008, but then turned and voted for Trump in 2016, where are those voters going to go? Is there going to be a candidate on the Democratic side that may appeal to those voters? And would those voters consider going back and voting Democratic in the 2020 race? I really think, based upon the research that I did on 2016, that's the cohort of voters that we really need to be paying attention to.
Well, and while I have you here, the House is doing some background research, investigation, and considering impeachment. What do you think is going to happen?
I don't think it's outside of the realm of possibility that the House will formally impeach Trump. And then the real question is, what do they do with it in the Senate? If I had to guess at this point, I would imagine that there won't be nearly enough Republican senators who are willing to vote to remove him from office, and so he would go down along with Bill Clinton and Andrew Johnson as impeached presidents who were not removed from office. And then the real question becomes, what's the impact on 2020? I tend to agree with folks that for Trump's base, set of base voters, impeachment's not going to matter. If it does anything, it will simply galvanize them and energize them for the 2020 campaign. I really believe that if the impeachment happens, where are those crossover voters, those Obama to Trump switchers, going to go in 2020? Is that going to be a factor in how they decide to vote? If there's a Democratic candidate that's palatable to them, would that the fact that the president was impeached during the first term shape their decision to vote Democratic? I think that's really what we need to be watching for over the next 4 to 5 months as we get closer to the Iowa caucuses.
Well, it seems to me, and correct me if I'm wrong, that they're going to have to uncover something that's pretty egregious before that we don't even know yet.
I think that's true.
Before those Republicans flip.
Yeah, based upon what we've seen so far, and the comments and reactions that we've seen from some pretty prominent Republicans on the Senate side, I don't think there's enough that's been released publicly that would lead those folks to be willing to vote to remove the president. Now, if something even more egregious were to come out over the next couple of months through the House investigation, similar to the effect that the Watergate tapes had on Republican House members and senators back in the early 1970s with President Nixon, that could be a game changer. But at this point, I think the safe money is on the president not being removed by the Senate.
Well, and again, congratulations on your book, From the Iowa Caucuses to the White House, Understanding Donald Trump's 2016 Electoral Victory in Iowa. That's a long title.
Yeah, it's an academic title. There's no doubt about it.
Thanks to Andrew Green for contributing to the program.
An audio copy of today's in-depth program is available at KNIAKRLS.com on demand or for download. Just click podcasts. If you have topics or show ideas you'd like to hear in-depth, contact KNIAKRLS by sending an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's local news and the number one news and information source in South Central Iowa is KNIAKRLS.